Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Up next, we have Jarrett Sutton.
One of your top three favorite guests on the show, right?
That's right. As heard at the Tiger Club of Kansas City this week. Hello, Jarrett Sutton. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I think it was number one, yep. Right, Steve, if I remember right?
With a bullet.
That's right.
What are you doing?
I'm getting ready to fly out here pretty soon to Madison, Wisconsin. I got Wisconsin-Iowa tonight. So, I've had a couple games postponed with everything going on, so it's my first trip of the new year. So I'm looking forward to the matchup. That's going to be a good one.
So take us through what you'll do there. So you fly in, and then what's it like, the life of an NBA scout, please?
Yeah, so, I mean, for me, this is kind of the evaluation period through, you know, the conference slate. So everybody's out on the road. And what we're really doing is we're going to games. I usually fly in day of. I try to get to the arena probably, you know, an hour and a half before tip. Try to meet with coaches, try to get as much time on the floor with guys as possible. You'll have the game. It's good to connect with other scouts that will be in attendance tonight. There should be a lot of teams. So you're all kind of in the same area. So it's good to connect with other teams. It's a great opportunity to have conversation. Intel gathering is very important in my job. I think it's split. You evaluate players, but you also have to, you know, be doing a lot of homework on other teams and anything. You know, all information is valuable, basically. So it's great, but it makes for, you know, an early rise tomorrow morning to get back to Kansas City. I'm flying back to Kansas City tomorrow early in the morning. And then I got Mizzou, Alabama on Saturday, so I get a chance to see Alabama. They got a couple really good players. So, you know, this is just, it's a fun period, though. I mean, there's a lot of travel. It's tough sometimes with flying from KC, a lot of connections, obviously with the weather, a lot of delays right now. So that makes, I think the travel is probably the hardest part of my job right now to manage. But outside of that, everything has been great. I'm very fortunate to be able to go to games and be in person. Last year was so unique. I don't want to go back to that. It's manageable. You can do it with the resources that we learned we have out there with Zoom and all those things. But it's so much better to be in person, see guys live. You know, you watch so much film. I love studying film. It's another part of the job that I love. But it is true you have to be in person to see these guys live and to see, you know, how, you know, they interact with teammates, the intangibles. You just get a little bit more of a different view of live, and it's a lot better. So it's a fun period right now, and you know, just trying to check as many boxes as possible, see as many guys as I can before we lead into the draft process this coming spring.
Are you going to see LSU at all, ever?
I will see LSU. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear they have a nice little point guard.
I was going to see if you could give me a scouting report on Xavier Pinson.
How did I know this was coming? I thought we might get a Mark Smith scouting report in here, too. So.
Why do I do this to myself? I ask you the question.
It's every week, too. Right? I mean, this is what we're going to have to do all year.
Because then
I hear it. It's the frustration, right? It's frustrating.
He's the starting point guard, and he helps lead them to a win over Kentucky. And I'm like, you know?
Yep. Yeah, and look, I mean, he's fulfilling a role for them that they needed, too. I mean,
Someone else needs it also.
right. I mean, you know, but the thing, too, I mean, with X, you know, he's such a great playmaker. And the chaos of that game, too. I just remember X as a freshman at Mizzou and just, you know, kid out of Chicago, Simeon Academy. You know, I'm very skinny and, you know, really was just trying to fit and trying to get minutes, and now to see where he's at. LSU is a really good team, and they're always going to have talent. But I think X is a really good player that kind of keeps it together in terms of his position. He's really important for that team. He's not going to be a big-time level scorer like he was at Mizzou, where he's, you know, scoring 20-plus. He'll score 11, 14 points, but you look up, he's got 5-6 assists. He's got 3 steals, and he's facilitating. And that, I mean, I think just the maturity of X, I'm proud of him.
Yeah, so he's doing everything right now that some people suggested that he couldn't do, right?
Right. I know this doesn't help our conversation.
No, it's fine. I'm rooting for him. I want him to do well.
Right. That's right.
I root for him to continue to do well and prove people wrong that chose to try to drag his name through the mud when he left Mizzou, because I did not like that. And I don't think you liked that either.
Yeah, I just think how it ended was unfortunate, right? I think he was Mizzou's best player last year when they were good. X was good. Not taking away anything from Jeremiah Tillman or Mark Smith or Drew. It was a solid nucleus of guys, but I just felt Xavier was the one guy that could take someone off the bounce. He was great getting to the paint. The TCU game jumped out. I always think about the TCU game at home where he basically willed Missouri back, sent a game to overtime, and then won the game in overtime. But hey, we can go down memory lane. It's tough to live in the past, but it is what it is.
I've spent a lot of time there. Okay, before Nate turns this into the Jayhawk Report, I'm going to have you say something positive about what I talked about at the Tiger Club of Kansas City. And you know that I am a women's basketball advocate.
Yep.
Because I call games for UMKC and I coach my daughters. And one of my daughters, Elise, her goal is to play at some level in college. Julia's goal is just to be at a different school than her sister, regardless of what she does, which is interesting. But the Missouri women's team, for them to beat number one South Carolina was with only eight players and not having their best player available was unbelievable. And now, and they went right down to the wire against Baylor, and so now they're on the verge of cracking the top 25, and they've really put together a good team that has a chance to do something or do some good things this year, some great things. And I know you've called many games with Robin Pinchin as head coach. So say some, you know, we sit and complain about Mizzou men's basketball. Hell with it. Let's talk about the Mizzou team that's actually beating teams and doing good things. The women's team, after that number one, that went over number one South Carolina, sky's the limit now, huh?
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought it up because I was going to say something about it of just like beating a number one team in the country in any sport is such a meaningful experience. I had a chance to experience that with Mizzou football when they beat Oklahoma when I was in college. I mean, it's a great feeling. But in women's basketball I just don't know of many upsets like that that we saw, especially with Mizzou shorthanded. And look, Missouri's only bad loss was Missouri State. I mean, they've had a really good resume. I thought they battled Baylor. So I would fully expect them to be back in the top 25. I still don't think they are. But, a team that I give Robin Pinchin a ton of credit. And I go back to, again, where the Mizzou women's basketball program was at when I was in college. I mean, they struggled. They were kind of the bottom of the barrel in the Big 12 when I was in college. They had some good seasons. And then Robin Pinchin comes along. Getting Sophie Cunningham changed the program, as you know, that really just kind of catapulted the program. And Sophie was phenomenal her entire career from freshman all the way through senior year. WNBA player, now playing overseas. Absolute stud, and just put the program on her back, and her sister did too. Lindsay's in this conversation. They had some great teams. They had some teams probably they look at and think, man, we should have gone farther in the tournament. And you know, but that's a part of college basketball, men or women. But this win is the best win for Robin Pinchin since she's been at Mizzou. It's one of the best wins for a Missouri team in Mizzou athletics. I mean, to have Mizzou knock off South Carolina without their best player, that's so impressive. Haley Frank, who's been around, she's a shooter. I'm so happy for her. She was great in that game. Lauren Hansen gets the final bucket. Both those two played 40-plus minutes. The minutes that they played, they only played seven players. I mean, they're two bench players. One played eight, and the other played 11. So, I mean, just the fact that they were able to stick together with seven players and win a game like that, I mean, so impressive. And we'll see where they go from here. And this is what I love about Rob. It's one win. It's a huge win for them. They had 7,000-8,000 people, I think, in the Mizzou Arena for that win. And they want to keep building on it. And that's the name of the game, is looking to that next game. You know, kind of put it behind you. But, man, it's going to be one you remember for a very long time if you're a Mizzou fan. And, again, can't say enough about Robin. She's such a terrific basketball coach and great leader. She's tough. And I just felt like that was something, you know, they knew they could do it. Nobody else thought they could, and they went and did it. And it's so impressive.
While we're on the subject of women's basketball, I want to give a shout-out to K-State, too, because our friend Brenda Van Langen, who is one of the top women's college basketball analysts in the country and lives here in Kansas City, very active in the women's sports community in Kansas City, pointed out to me that K-State got their first win over national powerhouse Baylor in 18 years. They beat Baylor on Sunday, and I want to give a shout-out to Ioka Lee, who's 6'6", a junior for K-State, scored 28 points in the second half of that game against Baylor to get the win, and the women's basketball championship will be here in Kansas City in March. So congratulations to K-State as well. I'm glad we talked a little women's basketball because we're all three here fans of the game. So,
hey, Nate, I just want to say, too, I'm glad you bring that up because I think this is what you're hitting on is I think the growth of the women's game, which is fantastic. I mean, when you're starting to see some upsets and you're starting to see some teams, you know, compete with some of these big dogs like South Carolina, like UConn, like Baylor, I mean, that's great to see. It means the talent level and the sport is growing at the youth level and it's starting to catch up with the college sport. I mean, that's to me the trend that I'm seeing. There's a lot of good women's teams. There's a lot of good women's players out there. Even locally here, high school teams, there's a lot of really good high school talent here in Kansas City, women's players. So I'm just impressed with where the sport is going. Because I think these type of upsets, it's good to see because we just haven't seen a lot of big upsets in women's basketball over the history of the sport. And you're seeing a little bit more of those. And that just to me means that the sport is growing. It's developing. Players are improving. That's a great sign.
And one thing I'd add to that, too, I saw an article that pointed out that when it comes to the NIL stuff, women's basketball is getting a higher percentage of NIL deals right now than men's basketball. So there's a marketing potential there. There are people that are paying attention, and the sport has a real chance to continue to grow. So,
Jarrett Sutton is our guest. All right, Jarrett, let's get into some Big 12 basketball. Nate won't bring up Kansas, but I will. Kansas beat Oklahoma State 74-63. And then last night, Texas Tech goes to Iowa State. It was a good game, but Iowa State wins 51-47. And so that sets up Kansas at Texas Tech on Saturday at 3 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. What say you about this matchup for Kansas?
Yeah, well, I mean, good for Kansas to start off league play with a win. And I think always good when you can go on the road, not necessarily play to the caliber you're capable of, but you find out a lot about your team in that first game. Tied at half, you struggle to end the half. David McCormick loses his starting place coming off the bench and has 17 and 15. That's a great sign. I think Jalen Wilson is coming along slowly. You get Remy Martin back. You know, when the shot's not falling, you're not making shots, you got to find ways to defend and guard and to have a double-digit win. And then to score 45 in the second half is a great sign. I can't say enough about Christian Brown. I know I come on the show a lot and talk about Christian, but his ability to pass. Six assists in that game and three turnovers. I just think his vision, IQ, intelligence, he makes the right play more times than not. And it's the reason why he's on the floor and plays 35 minutes. You just trust him on both ends of the floor. And I think for Coach Self to have a player like that, it's great because Christian is taking a step forward. Ochai leads this team, but Christian's taking a step forward. I still think they can get more from Remy. I still circle Jalen Wilson. I think we'll be talking about him in February if he can continue to grow. You saw 15th rebound performance. You know, he's a better shooter than he's showing. He's kind of got to break through this slump he's in offensively. But I like where Kansas is at in terms of building. That's a good win, especially at Oklahoma State. It's a tough place to play, just with everything with Coach Self and Oklahoma State. So a good win for them. You flip the page and played this Texas Tech team that is, you know, Mark Adams. It's a very similar Texas Tech team that you saw with Chris Beard. And I think it shows in that Iowa State score, right? That game, you know, 40s and 50s, right? That's what Texas Tech wants it to be in. And, oh, by the way, they were without Terrence Shannon last night, who's their best scorer. And Terrence has only played in six games. We'll see where, you know, if Terrence is back. And I think he's close. I don't know if that means he's going to play in this game, but I know he's close. So I think that's a big thing to watch for going into this game. But, you know, as Kansas fans know, Texas Tech is a tough team. Tevin McCullers is probably their best player without Terrence. They got Bryson Williams this offseason in the transfer, Kevin O'Banner, which college basketball fans will remember that name and the transfer. And I think he gives them a pretty good lift, probably a better three-point shooter than he's showing. But Texas Tech is fully capable of competing in the Big 12, obviously. They're a very good team. I don't think they're a team that is getting enough conversation right now, just because you look at some of their box scores and, you know, they're not scoring the ball all that well, but they're still a 10-win team right now. And, again, this Big 12 season, we say it a lot, that Big 12 is a great college basketball league. It's going to be very good again. It's not just going to be Baylor and Kansas and Texas and Iowa State. I mean, there's some teams that I think are very sneaky. Texas Tech is one of those. TCU, Oklahoma's off to a great start. It's going to be a fun league season, but I think Kansas wins this game. Kansas needs to play their game in terms of taking care of the basketball. They had too many turnovers in that Oklahoma State game. Texas Tech is going to put pressure on Kansas. They're going to be physical. They're going to be aggressive. Kansas got to weather the storm, take care of the ball, make good decisions, execute, and they'll win that game. But it's going to be one of those games that Texas Tech looks to make it as ugly as possible, make it as physical as possible, and try to be there late within striking distance.
So I want to go back to what you said about Christian Brown, because we've had a lot of conversations with you about Ochai, and rightfully so, with the developments he's taken this year after listening to the advice from the NBA scouts on what he needs to improve upon. You mentioned Christian Brown's improvement. Last year, 9.7 points a game. He's averaging almost 17 a game this year. That's a big jump. He would have games last year where he would show kind of some potential. He'd go for 20 here or there, but it wasn't consistent. What blows my mind, Jared, is that you're talking about a wing who is shooting almost 60% from the floor this deep into the season. And I'm curious, in terms of when you put your scouting hat on, the improvements that he has made, has he turned himself into a pro prospect with this type of development?
Absolutely. Yeah. And who knows, you know, what Christian's stock will be at the end of the year. We're still in January, but he's absolutely helped himself without question. And you touched on the field goal percentage. He's shooting a better percentage from three, shooting it better at the free throw line. He's rebounding the ball. He's passing, like I hit on. He's blocking shots. He's their best 50-50 ball guy in terms of on the floor. He's going to come up with every loose ball. The staff talks about that all the time. Christian does all the little things. And I'm glad you asked the question, because I think there's two things you talk about with Christian. Is one, shot selection. He's a good decision maker. He does not take bad shots. And there's times where, you know, I've seen Christian live and just watching KU games where, hey, Christian might have an open shot that you think, man, Christian, you can shoot that. Like, take that. You're a good shooter. But, yeah, he's very unselfish. And I think the IQ and just his development in terms of decision-making is what really jumps out to me. You can look at his stat sheet, and he's, you know, filling up stat sheets in different areas. That's showing how, number one, how talented he is. Number two, how I think his intelligence, IQ, decision-making. But he's also a very good athlete. He's gotten stronger. He's physical. Obviously, his mentality, you know, he's got a chip on his shoulder that he plays with and he has to have going all the time. Because when he does have that, that's when you really see him take over games. He's fully capable of doing that. We've seen that in games already this year. Even the Nevada game at home, you know, the ability to go 57% from the field, get to the free throw line. You know, all of a sudden you look up, he's got 22 points. I mean, he does it quietly. But I just think when you look at an NBA prospect nowadays, it's all about skill, but it's also about your intelligence and your decision-making, because when you get to the league, the game is so fast. The athleticism, the strength, the physicality, it's so different than college. And that's why I go watch a couple NBA games a month, because it's a reset for me. Because you could get stuck watching a lot of college games, and then you watch an NBA game, and it's completely different. And what you're seeing from Christian is things that you can actually look at in a college game and think, that translates. Right now, that translates. And that's what we're seeing. I don't think you could say that about Christian a year ago. You could see flashes. And we talk about that sometimes with prospects, where you see it in different ways. You don't see it consistently enough. Well, now you're seeing it consistently with Christian Brown. He's got to continue to play at that level. But I think he's opening eyes around the league in terms of college scouts that are out on the road that are seeing him. He's in the conversation. And I think it's not just also, Nate, what he does scoring the ball and that efficiency you talk about. It's so impressive. But again, it gets back to the defensive side of the ball. And he does so many things that helps Kansas win. And you can trust him on every part of the game, and just watching his game and his floor game, as we call it. He does not make mistakes. And that is something that is really impressive, and you're starting to see that at a consistent level.
Jarrett Sutton is our guest. Jarrett, Kansas State, they're 0-2 now in the Big 12, and they travel to take on West Virginia on Saturday afternoon. Tell me what they're facing as they attempt to avoid an 0-3 start in the conference season.
Yeah, you know, a tough 0-2 start. I thought I got to watch a little bit of that Oklahoma game in Norman. I thought they really competed. I hate to do this to you, Stephen, but Mark Smith was great.
Son of
Mark was great in that game. Really scored the ball well, rebounded the ball. I think it's probably one of his best games in college, to be quite honest. He really had his impact.
Christ
they lose that game, but it was a battle though. And I think when you know they had a tough loss the other night, 0-2. But again, the loss to Texas, you're missing coaches, you're missing players. I mean, I honestly thought that game might get postponed, but they had just enough to actually play that game. And I thought they gave a strong performance, a strong outing. You don't want to start 0-2 in league play, obviously. And then you got to go on the road to a tough West Virginia team. And, you know, West Virginia, a team that in their own building, very good. They're 11-2. Another team that's very, you know, I think, not getting a lot of conversation right now around the national scene. I think in the Big 12, everybody knows about West Virginia and how tough they are. But, you know, I this is a team that they're facing on the road that they're good in their own building. Taz Sherman is the guy to look for in this game. He's having a hell of a year. He's averaging over 20 a game, can really score the ball, and it's kind of taking the reins there. They got shooting. They got size. But I think, again, K-State, you know, if they can get everybody back and be healthy and, you know, continue to compete, they might give themselves a chance. But it's going to be a tough, tough matchup for them in Morgantown.
Okay, so I knew he had a good game, but I didn't quite realize the numbers here. Against Oklahoma, Mark Smith, 25 points, 16 rebounds, and 5 assists. So that'll...
yeah.
Causing Stephen to take the Lord's name in vain over here. You just want you back.
No, I did not.
I knew we did it.
I said, Christ Almighty. I'm declaring him.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm making a statement. It's
gotcha.
Jesus Christ Almighty.
Yes.
That's what I'm
Amen.
Just telling you.
Amen.
That's not. Amen. Trust me, I know. It's not. I'm telling you.
The tone of
Almighty.
Voice sounded like you were, you know.
Don't you read into what I say about the Lord.
He's asking for help.
Gotcha.
We just have to do a segment where
a little mini
we go
Jesus
through every,
like that type of
yeah. every Mizzou player that's playing for other teams right. and how their stats have improved. Now, let's, I don't know, let's rip the microphone out of its stand right now.
You want to talk about
I'm sorry
Kelly
I led
Oubre.
You down. It's my fault. It's my fault, Stephen. I led you down this road.
What about
hey,
Kelly
how about
Oubre?
Kelly? How about Kelly Oubre?
Unbelievable.
Man. He's got some
eight three-pointers in one quarter.
He's got some good-looking new shoes, I tell you that. I was going to buy them until I saw who they were, but not bad. I'm saying,
hey,
I like them.
His drip, as you call it, right? His attire, whether off the floor or on the floor, he's always like the most, you know, well-dressed guy in the league, and his shoe game is always strong. So Oubre always checks all those boxes, man. But I'm happy for him. And this is a guy that, look, he last year he really struggled shooting the ball and, I mean, his role was a little bit undefined, and I'm excited for he's taken off, and he's played really well consistently, but his three-point shooting, man, it's really improved, and yeah, I mean, what a big night for him, career night shooting the ball. I mean, that is tough to do in the league regardless to hit, I think it was 9 in the quarter he hit. That was pretty impressive stuff.
You like those shoes, don't you? I like Converse.
I didn't know. I have to be honest. I didn't know Converse was still making basketball.
Chase the drip,
you know.
The drip.
Good for them.
You got to chase the drip.
People don't realize they were the top dog in the shoe industry until Jordan came along.
Puma was making kind of a comeback. I think a little couple years ago with MPJ. So.
That was brief.
Jared,
let's bring up MPJ just to help Steven throughout this segment. We'll talk about Michael Porter to close.
Does that help?
Let's talk about all of course. Jontay, let's bring him into the conversation.
Right. When you're on the road, do you chase the drip?
I do not. Mm-hmm. I do not chase the drip. No.
Right. Jake does all the time. Every day. That's what he says.
Drip chases, the drip chases Jarrett. That's how that works.
If you have a... if you can get away for about an hour on Friday night, I have a front row seat for you for the season opener, the league opener, St. Gabe's at St. Pat's, 6 o'clock Friday night.
Season over. So now remind me, they play twice a week or is it once a week?
So they play once a week. We practice twice a week. We usually practice Tuesdays and Fridays, but we have a Friday night season opener. And so very excited. Warm-ups, 5:30. Please be there on time, girls, and try to have your jerseys, everyone, and your shoes. We had one girl forget her shoes for one game, and that's, you know,
well, that's
hard to get,
I mean,
hard to get past that.
If I remember right, you're the Dobo, right?
Right, so and so that falls on my hands. And,
That's right.
Well,
I got to get to a game. I don't know if I'll be able to make this Friday, but I got to get to one.
I'll send you the whole schedule.
Hit me with it. Yeah, I need to get to a game for sure. I got to a couple last year, so I need to get to one. But yeah, season's here.
We get to have a couple of home games this year. We haven't had home games in a couple of years, and so we're pretty excited about that. So maybe we'll have you there as a guest of honor.
Yeah, it's competitive for them too. I mean, how many teams are in this league?
So we have two divisions, I think eight teams. It's either seven or eight in each division. We play everyone once, and then depends on the seeding for the postseason tournament. And last year was at St. Michael's. This year, the postseason tournament, the championship tournament at St. Pius X High School. Hey, we started the season there. We want to finish it there. So,
man. Okay, get your tickets now for that
right.
one.
Well, see
I'll,
me.
I'll get that one.
I can get you a good deal on them, you know.
Dobo, go through the Dobo.
That's exactly right. I handle all ticket requests. And so, will you make it down to any more Mizzou women's games at all?
I'm going to try to get to one at least.
Let me know on that. Maybe a little road trip, a little togetherness.
Yeah. They're going to be competitive in the SEC. It's going to be fun. I mean, SEC is a really good women's league, and they're going to be competitive. I mean, obviously beating South Carolina, but they got a chance. I mean, if they can stay healthy, obviously. But Asia Blackwell didn't play, and I could go on and on about Asia Blackwell. She is extremely talented. She's when she got signed, like Sophie was still in school, and when they signed Asia Blackwell, it was like, this is the next wave. Like, this is our the thing with the women's game too. Like we didn't touch on, they're still roster building, right? Like. And the men's side, you know, you're thinking transfer portal, you're thinking one and done. Like, every year is going to be different. They're still building out classes. And so Asia Blackwell's kind of taking the reins from Sophie Cunningham, and they're hitting stride, and we'll see where they finish up at the end of the year.
As one of those players, if you have a daughter, hey, watch her. Watch everything she does.
Exactly right.
Jared, so any final comments on, I know that you're very angry. I know you love the Chiefs as much as anyone. Any final comments on what happened to the Chiefs in Cincinnati and how you feel right now as we get closer to the postseason?
Man, I know you guys have hit on it, and it's been talked about probably enough, but I think I'll be over the Bengals loss by tomorrow, right? I think before Saturday, I'll probably be over it. But, that was a tough one. Losses happen, but that one was kind of an excruciating one. But, hey, we're in the playoffs, right? We're in the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes is our quarterback. I'll put my chips with Patrick in terms of our ability to get back to the Super Bowl.
That's right.
And Coach Reed too. So go win in Denver, take care of business, lock up the two seed, and hope. Hey, maybe we'll be the one seed. Who knows? Who knows what can happen?
Enjoy
any given Sunday, right?
Exactly right. Enjoy Iowa and Wisconsin. Do you have any? And it's at Wisconsin?
Madtown.
At Wisconsin,
you got any?
First time to Madison too, which I am
Madison's
very
a great town.
Hey, I've got a guy that's very well traveled and well known in the streets and hills of other hills in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, Jake, do you have any advice for Jared Sutton as he makes his way to Wisconsin for Iowa, Wisconsin?
There was a good burger place, maybe Muya's or something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
Are you okay in that area?
State Street Brats. That's a famous spot.
Where at? What?
So State Street is, I believe, the name of the street in Madison that's like the bar street, you know, they shut it off to traffic and everything.
Are you okay in that county where Madison is?
No, Madison's fine. It's Waukesha.
Okay, but you're fine.
Yeah.
You can in and out of the campus.
Yeah, Benchmore up in Waukesha.
All right, well.
Try to pay it.
Okay, if you want the off-air tours, visitor's guide, Jake is more than happy to.
I was going to say, I'm going to take this offline and hit Jake of like, all right, tell me everything. Right.
He's got some places for you to go after the game, not before the game, please. After the game.
Okay, you know? All right.
And Nate wants you to get a sausage or
well,
something,
Well, yeah,
right?
Madison, Wisconsin. Wisconsin's known for their brats, so State Street Brats is like, it's a good spot. Yeah, so I went there. When KU played in the regional finals there in like 2002, the year they went to the Final Four and lost to Maryland.
Did you get hammered after
they
that?
They beat Oregon and Illinois in the tournament there. Yeah, oh, absolutely got hammered.
Right.
Yes,
right.
Yes, 100%. Okay. Which is we were there for like 4 or 5 days.
Well,
now, I will say this. You want to talk about a cold, cold place.
That's it.
Yeah.
Bring your parka. Yeah. You know, it is very cold. But State Street's a really fun area. It's like there's no traffic. You know, it's only foot traffic. A lot of college restaurants and bars and stuff.
You'll love it, Sutton.
Madison's a great town.
You'll love the atmosphere.
Yeah. I've heard nothing but good things, so I'm excited. It's like 3 degrees there, so it's a little bit colder there than here. So we'll see how it goes there.
Send us a picture of your trip and let us know how it's going, all right?
I will. I'll send Nate a sausage pick, you know.
Thank you.
You know what? Hey, every guest that we have, Nate only wishes they'd send him a sausage pick.
Okay.
He sends me
sausage picks all the time.
Yeah, and you're not complaining, are you?
Nope.
Hey, Jared, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
Jared Sutton preparing for a trip to Madison.
Madtown.
So where do you, of all the it's campuses so you've visited, though, is that?
Oh, it's an awesome place. I mean, it's the state capital and.
Yeah, the thing that's tough about Madison is it's the state capital and the college town.
Right.
And there's like, it's hard to figure out your way around the grid there because like, it's like the street grid is like a spider web that goes straight out from the capital. So like, there's these one way streets that go in a circle. And if you don't figure that out, like you think you're driving on the same street, and you're like, I wasn't driving anywhere around that place. Yeah,
You can walk down the one way, it's fine.
Yeah, it's just really cold.
Yeah, did not drive.
Would you like to know why this day is special in the history of the Border Patrol? I read this tweet. I'm going to assume it's accurate, and if it's not, so what? I just want to make this point.
Right. We've learned about accuracy.
On this day in 2016, the Royals signed outfielder Alex Gordon to a four-year deal worth $72 million.
Nice.
And Jake took his shirt off and went out and did snow angels on the deck. Would you like to do that again to honor that memory?
I'm good. I was about 260 then.
It was colder than you thought, though, wasn't it?
That
caused some problems for you, didn't it?
I mean, it was whatever. I have some video from that still.
Well, let's take a look at it in the next year.
We were celebrating that though,
I was
pretty
pumped,
big time.
Man, still in.
You still love it.
Finished the Royal.
That's right.
Back at you know what? Forever Royal.
That's
on
right.
Sports Radio 810 WHB.